You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The Bears won last night. My confidence in them never wavered.
I'm Frank Isola. Hold on a second now. Just because I wasn't here yesterday, you think you can get away with that? Come on now.
I tried to sneak that one past you, Frank. It was so shot, my confidence in the Bears. I flew away from the game last night not to see it. Just left town.
Mike,
didn't want to be
Mike,
there.
Mike, you're 1-0 over Magic Johnson. Look at it that way.
That's one way to look at it. I don't know if I want to look at it that way for long. Welcome to PTI. Tony couldn't finish what he started this week, so here to do his work for him is our great friend, Frank Isola.
It's a lot louder in D.C. than it is in New York.
Yeah, you know, you don't get that treatment on the road. Let's start with the Bears snapping that 14-game losing streak last night in Washington. Justin Fields found DJ Moore 8 times for 230 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Bears beat the Commanders 40-20. Frank, do you see last night as just a sigh of relief game for the Bears or a sign of things to come?
I think a sigh of relief, and I'm going to give you a lot of time on this because yesterday was a significant day for the Chicago Bears, obviously for a number of reasons. But first of all, it was their first win in 346 days. That's like a lunar eclipse, Mike, basically in the NFL. They've almost gone a calendar year without winning. You mentioned DJ Moore. Outstanding. The defense had 5 sacks on Sam Howell. They only had 2 in the first 4 games. And then you mentioned Justin Fields. Back-to-back games now with 4 touchdowns. How about this? As much as he struggled, as much as we've talked about him, first quarterback since the merger to throw 3 first-half touchdowns in back-to-back games. But what does it mean? I have no idea. With him starting, they've only won 6 of their last 30 games. The schedule eases up for them a bit, but one game, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, Frank, look, listen, sigh of relief is definitely what it is. I found myself texting people last night, and, you know, the post-game, you know, discussion goes on here forever today. I mean, this town is obsessed with what's going on with the Bears and Justin Fields specifically. And Frank, I feel a lot of people are like me, and I said this to Tony yesterday, in that we're rooting for Justin Fields. The national conversation can center around whether the Bears need to keep him or move on for him or draft a quarterback at number one as if we know we're going to have the number one pick. I hope we don't. But Fields has played really well overwhelmingly for consecutive weeks. That augurs well for the Bears. I'm not getting ahead of myself. There are winnable games coming up. There are games against teams with defenses, Vikings coming up most, you know, next, Raiders after that, where they could continue to get better. Every phase last night was better. They hung 40 on a team on the road. That's good no matter what the circumstances are, no matter who the team is. And Washington's got its own situations. But we're talking about the Bears. I feel good at where they are. Now, let me give that coaching staff some credit. The secondary was decimated by injury. They had 4 running backs on the sideline. They're down to some guy I've never heard of, a fullback carrying the ball in the fourth quarter trying to keep Washington off balance. The coaching staff, which might have been out the door, Frank, if they'd lost that game, those guys responded. They paid no attention. They got that team ready, and they kept them moving, and those players seem to believe in them still if the rest of the town does not. So I think there could be more, but to be more, they got to beat Minnesota. They play Minnesota, a Vikings team that's not very good, here Sunday, a week from Sunday, win that game, and we'll talk further about sign of things to come.
Well, Mike, you know, you're mentioning, you know, the quick turnaround. The coaching staff did a great job. That was a disappointing loss on Sunday to the Broncos. You turn around 4 days later. It's a national game. It's on the road. And I'll tell you what, you mentioned Washington, and I referenced Magic Johnson pretty quickly. How about Magic after the game taking to Twitter, really criticizing Washington? And remember, here's a team. They've given up at least 30 points in 4 straight games. And their schedule, besides the NFC East, which is tough,
it's tough.
Philly and Dallas, They got to play the 49ers. They got to play Miami. This was a game Washington, if you want to be a playoff team, you had to have, right?
Probably. It's long season. All right. Long season.
You're right. All right. One of the greatest Bears in the history of that franchise passed away prior to the game. Dick Butkus' family says the Hall of Fame linebacker died peacefully in his sleep at the age of 80. As we all know, Butkus terrorized NFL offenses for 9 seasons in the 60s and early 70s. Mike, when you were growing up in Chicago, he was one of your favorite players.
Yep.
What is Dick Butkus' historical place for the Bears and the NFL?
When I think of linebacker play, I think of Dick Butkus and Lawrence Taylor. And the Bears have had other great linebackers. My guy, Mike Singletary, was thought to be the leader and maybe the best player on a championship team and the greatest defense of all time. But Butkus, the violence with which he played, the energy, the passion. He didn't just tackle people. It was always like he was wrestling a bear to get somebody to the ground. I want to read you a quote that either was written by John Facenda, it was certainly voiced by John Facenda, and maybe written by Steve Sable for NFL Films. And it talked about Butkus, and it tried to capture the essence of Butkus. And I want to read this because this gets it perfectly to me. His 9-year career stands apart as the single most sustained work of devastation ever committed on a football field by anyone, anywhere, anytime. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Devastation. He devastated people. You see people like Deacon Jones who devastated people coming up with poems to dedicate to Butkus and his violence. And Frank, he personified us. We thought that. He personified Chicago. We care about our toughness, or at least our perceived toughness. And Butkus took that seriously. And so did all the people that came after him. You think Urlacher didn't take that seriously? You think Michael Jordan didn't take that seriously and doesn't know of Butkus' legendary toughness? And all those guys wanted to play every game because that's what Butkus wanted to do. It's a hard couple of days losing him. And we just saw him a couple of weeks ago at the Packers game. He was just there on the field. He looked great. Hard couple of days, Frank.
Yeah. You know, last week you and I, we talked about Satchel Paige, and I said like, he had this mythical, you know, sense about him. I think Dick Butkus was the same way because you mentioned NFL Films. That's how I grew up really knowing who Dick Butkus was. I was watching something today with Dan Pastorini, the former quarterback for the Oilers, said he looked to the left, he looked to the right. Then when he was about to call the play, he's staring right at Dick Butkus. He had the name and he had that face and he played that position. And back then, really the glamour position of the NFL, you think of Chuck Bednarik and then Sam Huff and then obviously onto Dick Butkus, guys like Junior Seau, Ray Lewis, Mike Singletary. It really was that middle linebacker position. And just that name, Mike, remember in the movie Butkus. Rocky names his dog,
named
the
his
bull
dog.
Master. Yes. He mentions him, he names him Butkus. Why? Ferocious, vicious, and intimidating. So when you grow up where I grew up, and we think of the Bears, we always thought of Dick Butkus, Gale Sayers, and then, of course, number 34, Sweetness himself, Walter Payton.
For good reason. And to have all three of them gone now, Frank, is surreal for those of us who grew up with all of them. And I got to know Dick a little bit, and it was just great. I think I told you the other day, I butt-dialed him for months. And one day I get a phone call in the middle of the night and it's Dick Butkus. And he says, Wilbur, what are you dialing me for? You butt dialing me. And I was like terrified, intimidated. I was a grown man, 50 years old. And then he started that hysterical laughter. And we talked and he was like that on the field, but off the field, he was a teddy bear. He was.
Yeah.
I know, a dichotomy. I could talk about Dick Butkus forever, but let's move. Rest in peace. Let's move to the baseball playoffs. 4 division winners take the field tomorrow for the first time. The Orioles host the Rangers. The Astros take on the Twins. The Braves get the Phils. And the Dodgers face the Diamondbacks. Frank, which of these 4 teams that earned first-round byes should feel the most nervous?
Well, I think Baltimore, the fact that their manager, Brandon Hyde, never managed a postseason game. You have all those wins. And Texas looked really good against the Rays. And Max Scherzer could end up pitching in this series. Houston never loses in this round. I'm not worried about them. My focus really is in the National League, and I don't know why baseball doesn't recede. I mean, the Diamondbacks should be playing the Atlanta Braves. It shouldn't be the Phillies and the Braves. And last year, Philadelphia knocked off the Braves, who won over 100 games, just like they did this year. And think about these two teams. There's going to be a lot of offense in this series, Mike. Both teams, starting at August 1st, hit 107 home runs. It's crazy. And, you know, nobody hits home runs the way that the Braves do. 307 for the season, tied for the most. They scored 41 more runs than any other team in the major leagues. But Philadelphia, and you saw it this past week, their home crowd, if they can get one of those games down in Atlanta, they could be pretty dangerous. One other thing to remember, Zach Wheeler set up to pitch game two and a possible game five. And right now, the starting pitching, you might be able to give a bit of an edge to Philadelphia.
Yeah. You know what, Frank? That series, first of all, I totally agree with you on reseeding. I mean, just do it. Every sport should do that.
Football,
I mean,
does it.
It's the fairest way to the teams and your sport to put your best product out there. And yes, I'm going to say the Braves are the most vulnerable, perhaps, or at least I'm thinking the two teams, both in the National League. Because I think the Diamondbacks, I know the Diamondbacks don't have any power. They hit four home runs in that first series. They just don't have any. They're the team without the glamour, without the power hitters. But, you know, and they were only like 5-8 against the Dodgers in the regular season, but it's a division opponent. They ain't scared. We just saw Philly beat Atlanta. We've seen it. Of course it's possible in Atlanta to underscore. How about this statistically? Even a better hitting lineup than the 1927 Yankees.
It's crazy.
That's how great this lineup is. And yet, I don't know that I'm going to make them some big, heavy favorite over Philly in the first round. And I don't know that I'm taking the Dodgers there either. The Dodgers pitching is not what the Dodgers pitching usually is. And so I think they're gettable by Arizona just by being hot. It's not the numbers that convince me in this series. There's some hunch work here. And I think those teams could really scare both the best teams in the National League.
Mike, one thing about the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks were great against Milwaukee. They were trailing in both games. In game one, Evan Longoria had the great double play, which basically changed the whole series. But how about this for a number? In the last 5 years, the Dodgers have won 57 games against the Diamondbacks. They're 57 and 23 in the last 5 years. They've absolutely dominated their division rival. Amazing.
Could there be an uprising?
Maybe. The pitching has a lot to do with it.
It has to. Coming up, is Alabama or Notre Dame more likely to take a second loss tomorrow?
And who should be favored in the WNBA Finals between the New York Liberty and, of course, the Las Vegas Aces?
I can't wait to see it between the networks and the league if they ever actually stage the damn games and don't make us wait.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
Time to lay the wood to Frank and toss up what's first.
Toss up, more likely to take their second loss this weekend, number 11, Alabama, or number 10, Notre Dame.
All right, Frank, just to set this up, number 10, Notre Dame, is playing at number 25, Louisville. And number 11, Alabama, is playing at Texas A&M. which is unranked, okay? And you would think, okay, Alabama's just going to roll an unranked team. But Texas A&M is 4-1. I mean, they lost the game to Miami, which is hardly anything to be embarrassed about, and they rolled Auburn pretty good. I'm actually, though, going to say Notre Dame. They've had two difficult weeks already, the loss to Ohio State and then, you know, having a tussle with Duke. I'm going to say Notre Dame at Louisville, and what passes bogusly these days is probably a conference affair in the ACC. I'm going to say Notre Dame, vulnerable to Louisville on the road.
Just remember, 2 years ago, Texas A&M, unranked, they beat top-ranked Alabama at College Station. But I agree with you on Notre Dame. I mean, they are so close to being undefeated, but how about last week? Sam Hartman on that 4th-and-16 against Duke. That may have saved their season for them. But yes. Louisville, 5-0 under Jeff Brohm, their best start since 2013. But Notre Dame has won 30 consecutive regular season games against the ACC opponents.
ACC team.
They've absolutely dominated. But this one could be dangerous. Like you said, they've played two tough games in a row. Now they're on the road.
Not a great week for college football, but those two bear watching both those games. What's next?
Toss up. Who do you favor in the WNBA Finals, the Liberty or the Aces?
Frank, I can't differentiate these two teams. They have the best records in the WNBA this season. They are both called, and I hate the hype normally when people use the label super team. These are super teams. Whether you're talking about Asia Wilson on the Aces or Breanna Stewart on the Liberty, and from there, just star players all around. It's interesting. The Liberty, which was in the finals all the time early in the league's, you know, history.
That's right.
Haven't been in the finals in like 21 years. The Aces have been there three of the last four. This is a hunch, Frank. I'm playing. I'm going to say the Aces, but I can't differentiate these two.
Yeah. Like you said in our 5 a.m. pre-production meeting, the Liberty have never won a title. And now this is an opportunity.
Never, by
the
won
way,
a title.
They split the season series, but the Liberty did win the Commissioner's Cup, so they did take 3 of 5. Here's what's amazing. These two teams combined are 66-14. And if you look at every statistical category, they either rank first or second. I just wonder if Asia Wilson going to be a little motivated by the fact that Breanna Stewart was the MVP.
Yes, you know, and she also will be.
That's right. And, Mike, the home court advantage, I think, will be a factor. Plus, the Liberty toward the end of the season looked a little shaky. They've already lost to Connecticut at home. So I want to see the Liberty win. I think it's going to be the Aces, though.
I mean, can you ever have a real home court advantage in Brooklyn? This ain't the Garden, all right? It's Brooklyn.
Your boy Michael Jordan's from Brooklyn, Mike. Watch your step.
Yeah, well, he got out of there pretty quickly, didn't he? That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Wasn't been no drama around James Harden since he reported to the Sixers.
And could Tiger Woods be Team USA's next Ryder Cup captain?
You got a better suggestion? Mike. You got anybody else better than Tiger?
Not Phil.
No.
Tiger would be good.
Tiger would be necessary.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
The interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
You need to get happy, people. Happy 24th birthday, Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence is in his third season with the Jaguars and still younger than Notre Dame quarterback Sam Hartman. Lawrence got Urban Meyer'd in his first season as a pro, but but really came along in year two under Doug Peterson. Now in year three, he and the Jaguars are 2-2 after beating the Falcons in London last week and have stayed there all this week waiting to play the Bills. It's the first time in NFL history a team has played back-to-back games overseas. Said Lawrence, quote, "We're going to obviously be well-rested and adapted to the time change because that is a real thing," close quote.
I think by the time Trevor Lawrence gets back to the States, he might speak with a British accent. They've been there so long. But enjoy your 24th birthday, because there's a chance Von Miller may be available on Sunday for the Buffalo Bills. Watch out for that guy. He could make
it. Yeah, you don't want that for a birthday present. You don't.
No.
Happy anniversary to the Colorado Buffaloes. On this day, 33 years ago, the referees and even the announcers inexplicably lost track of the downs in the frantic closing seconds of Colorado's game against Mizzou. Buffs quarterback Charles Johnson spiked the ball to stop the clock on what the sticks said was third down, but was actually fourth down. So Colorado mistakenly got a fifth down. Johnson took it himself. It might have been short, but was ruled to have scored, giving Colorado the win on the game's final play. Some Missouri students rushed the field thinking they'd won, because they should have. Colorado would finish that season 11-1-1, earning the Buffs a number one ranking in the AP poll, forcing a share of the national title with Georgia Tech.
How is that not a correctable error? By the way, Eric Bieniemy, we all know who Eric Bieniemy is now. Now he's the offensive coordinator for Washington. He was the running back on Colorado. He was stopped short on two of the five downs. It should have been only four. They gave him five. Ridiculous.
They should overturn that. Just historically, just overturn it. Change it in the record book. Stop.
I know.
Happy trails to Billy Epler. The Mets general manager resigned yesterday amid a league investigation into whether the team used the injured list improperly. The Mets hired Epler 2 years ago, winning 101 games in his first season, but losing in the wild card. This season, with huge hopes and payroll, the team mustered just 75 wins. Epler's resignation came 3 days after the Mets introduced David Stearns as their new president of baseball ops. Prior to joining the Mets, Epler had been the GM of the Angels, where he signed, hello, Shohei from Japan.
You know, when you talk to baseball people, they don't think the whole issue with the injured list is something to get him fired. I think he resigned. You're bringing a whole new administration in. It's amazing. A year ago, like you mentioned, the Mets won 101 games. They had that awful performance against the Padres. This year, they went in the tank. But they did make a couple of good moves, getting rid of Verlander and Scherzer. They actually got something back for them for next season.
Yeah, but they're at the crib now, which nobody would have predicted. Nobody did predict in March. One omission. Simone Biles won the World All-Around for the sixth time today, Frank.
Amazing. She's now the most decorated gymnast of all time. 34 medals. That includes the Olympics and, of course, the World Championships.
We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Joel Embiid. Since James Harden has not been a distraction in Sixers camp, does that surprise you?
No, because A, he wants to get paid. He also figures, let me be on my best behavior. Maybe there's a chance I will be traded.
There you go.
I still think at some point he ends up on the Clippers. Davis Love III says Tiger Woods is the obvious choice to lead the Ryder Cup team in 2025. You agree?
Obvious choice. Operative words. The only ones that matter. Cooper Kupp will play Sunday against the Eagles. Is that a big deal?
Don't take any time away from Puka Nacua. That's the guy that you want. By the way, he was on the injury list with a hamstring injury.
Lakers Warriors.
Preseason opener tomorrow. What are you going to be looking for?
I'm not looking at that. I'm looking for 2.5 weeks from now, Frank. The regular season begins. That's no time. Last one. Cowboys at Niners on Sunday night. Who you got?
Adam Schefter, a bunch of other people reporting the 49ers acquired Broncos defensive end Randy Gregory today in a trade. I got the Cowboys winning that game, by the way. There's one for you. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.